today on Cartridge to Cloud. This episode's a little bit special. We're supporting our Able Gamers charity, supporting helping fund ways for disabled gamers to be able to play and enjoy content with all of us.
And I think that's probably one of the best organizations out there, because there's a lot of people that just aren't able to play a regular game. So I think that's a great thing what we're doing here on INN today.
Yeah. And that's why we chose this charity. Actually, we were going to do this one originally in the fall, and we had a lot of conflicting schedules. So we decided to move it to early 2022, which is why we're here now. And so let's kind of dive right in. A little bit of housekeeping for you. The charity events today are sponsored by Able Gamers Charity, which we're not really sponsored by them, but we're supporting them. Blue Microphones, we're sponsored by Blue Microphones channel. And Nitrado Game Servers. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring us and the streams for today. Let's kind of dig into the news. Project Spartacus. This thing is kind of an interesting, we're going to be reading off a article from PC Gamer, written by Andy Chalk.
Chalk.
Codename Spartacus, a subscription-based service, will combine features of PlayStation Plus and PS Now. If you guys aren't familiar with this, how those two are separately, one is basically like your standard Xbox Live Gold, essentially, and then the other one is what I guess the original concept was for Xbox Game Pass for PlayStation, mm-hmm. like their PlayStation-branded version of it. And they're talking about combining those two in a new monthly subscription service that's actually supposed to be, is rumored to be coming out next week. They're going to be announcing it next week. This is going to be kind of interesting because it's three tiers from what we've heard. There is a variety of what is included in each one, including like retro games and so on and so forth. It's kind of like essentially like the Netflix style of games, so to speak, I guess, trying to keep up and competing with Xbox Game Pass. So it's kind of an interesting one. What do you think about it?
Well, I mean, seriously, and I really do think that it is pretty cool. So now PlayStation Now has actually already been available on PC. So for those of you that have been on PC for a while, it has already been available. But I really think that they're making a really good move here, right? Especially with PlayStation. And when it comes to them trying to get into that same market, because it's been extremely successful for Microsoft and then their version of it. So now the question is can they compete with pricing is my thing, right? I mean, is it really going to be worth it for the PlayStation owners in order to be able to go on there and pay that dollar for the 3 months like what Xbox had, right? I thought that was pretty cool. So are they going to be able to do the same thing? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't think personally it's going to come anywhere close to what Xbox Game Pass has. It has such a big user base now. I mean, I think the last time we heard the reports from Phil Spencer that they have something like 34 million users on Game Pass currently. And that's pretty wild. Like that number has like literally grown by 5 to 7 million or more year over year. And it just continues to get better, because one of the biggest things I think that Game Pass has over anything else right now is that the day and date drops for new game releases. For example, anything that's first party from Microsoft, they're dropping it the same day for everything. So it goes out for retail stores, you're going to get it on every storefront, and then you can also get it on Game Pass Ultimate on PC and Xbox, right, which is a huge, huge value in it. And not only that, like the game library itself has like tripled over in the last few years. We went from like having 20, 30 titles all at once. Now there's like well over 200, almost 200 games like on there, and they swap them out every month and you get new stuff all the time. I mean, being able to play Halo Infinite, the story mode, Forza Horizon 5, Starfield was going to be later on this year. We're going to have that going. There's just a huge value in that. And I still don't think, I think PlayStation or Sony is trying to compete with that, but I don't think they'll ever match it or even get close to it, just purely based on the value.
No. See, and I don't think that they're going to be able to match it for that kind of the same reason, right? Because the game titles that come out on the Xbox versus the PlayStation, right? There's some really good games that are only solely on PlayStation. And then I hope that they decide to add those to their library. But are they going to be able to really compete with all the game titles that are really made for Microsoft? And when they come out, and like what you said, they just put them out there immediately. So is PlayStation going to be able to do the same thing is the question here. And to be honest, there is a lot of PlayStation players, but not as many as the Microsoft players. So we'll definitely see the the way on how it's going to go for PlayStation and Sony, I think it's going to be a good thing. There's a lot of people looking forward to it, right? Because they can actually be able to pay a monthly sub, play these awesome games that are coming out on PlayStation, and then, you know, test them out before they actually go and buy them. So the question is, once again, in my opinion, can they afford it? And are they going to be able to do the deals like Microsoft can? I think that's going to be a big deal. And then on top of that, you know, what games are they going to be able to add onto that platform? So now we'll definitely see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, even the last few years, PlayStation has been getting, like, kicking Microsoft's butt in terms of the console war itself. Right. I think by overall user base, I think it's they're higher overall on PlayStation currently, even still, because they came out so strong in the, from the last generation. I think that there's going to be a lot of value in it, but it's never, like, unless they do decide to do the day and date with their new titles, which happens to be a lot of single player games for the most part, but now we've seen them heavily investing into multiplayer, which is, you know, buying Bungie, buying Haven Studios, which is a bunch of, like, Blizzard and Activision veterans. I think I could be wrong on that one. But they're buying all these different studios trying to strengthen their multiplayer portfolio. Like, what are they going to do in that case? But still kind of going, circling back, like, I don't know if it's going to be as strong in that regard, just because, you know, they're not going to be able to compete with the day and date thing unless they decide to do it or do select titles. Like, for example, the first one they've ever done in day and date was Shadow Warrior 3 that just came out a few weeks ago.
But the cool thing that Microsoft is doing, right, because I like what you're saying, is that they're buying up all these companies. You don't see Sony doing that. So, and I think that Microsoft has gone, oh, okay, look, there's a huge market out here with these gamers that want to play different games every single day, right? But they want to try this out or try this out, try this out. So then they came out with this. Now with Sony trying to do the same thing with their PlayStation Network, with their titles and things, and I don't think that they're going to be able to just to compete with them. I mean, it's just like what Diddlebop said in chat, right? He's like, regrettably not going to compete with Microsoft since they're buying up everything. And I do agree with that. I mean, Microsoft has the cash for it. I don't think Sony has the cash to buy up all of these companies that are developing these games and then going, you know what, we're going to take it and then put it on our platform almost right away. I mean, do you see Sony doing that?
No, I could see Sony trying to compete in some way in doing it. But the problem is that I kind of agree with how Microsoft's doing their whole ecosystem, like, battle. It's not just isolated to just Xbox anymore. And it's not isolated to just PC anymore. They're trying to be like, all right, cool, we're going to give you games to play on whatever platform you choose. While they've still honored the deals with, like, Bethesda and what was the other? Activision Blizzard. Like, they're going to still have Call of Duties on PlayStation, at least for the foreseeable future. They still honored all their deals that are for, like, the PlayStation exclusive titles, like Ghostwire Tokyo, for example, that just came out yesterday. That was a Bethesda title. Or what was the last one that just came out? Deathloop. Deathloop was another one that was released that was still a PlayStation console exclusive. But they still wanted to make sure that they had, you know, they give their games to the play on the most, you know, platforms. Now, the console exclusive thing is probably not going to last. It's probably only a time deal at this point. I'm sure there was some modifications there at some point where it's going to come to Game Pass and it's going to come to Xbox as well. It'll probably be 6 months to a year, usually what's kind of what they run out to. But there's a lot of strength in all the conversations on where we could see Sony buying up a few studios here and there, at least to strengthen the portfolio they need to retain those audiences on their console versus like Xbox now is strengthening it in almost every area and kind of going along the lines of, okay, cool, let's go and buy these studios, make a few of these games exclusive, but not everything. Like, Call of Duty doesn't make sense as a console exclusive because the majority of players for COD is on PlayStation, even more than PC, even more than Xbox. So there's a lot of different values and revenue streams for having those things, right? Like, COD has been one of the juggernaut, for example, of this whole thing. Could I see them doing it on PlayStation Now or this Project Spartacus? No. Mm-hmm. Could I see it coming to Game Pass? Oh, absolutely. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be exclusive to one or the other either.
Right. And see, and then that's going to be the trouble for these companies, right? Is like, hey, how do we make these deals with either Microsoft or Sony, right? But how do we get our games onto their platforms? And who has the most gamers on those platforms that are actually going to be worthwhile, right? So even if they do release them on both platforms, right, the way that it works, in my understanding and from what I read, is like each deal gets a certain percentage, right? So, like, If you have, you know, like COD, for like example, being available on PlayStation, which a lot of people are worried about, right? They're like, oh my God, Microsoft's buying Activision, right? But if that goes through. So are we still going to be able to play? Or if they do, then what is the percentage of their monthly subscription that has to go to Activision versus what Microsoft? Because I mean, it really depends on in which direction and in what games and what companies are going to be working with which side. And I think that's going to be the awesome thing that we're going to see is like, okay, where is this market truly going to be at? And on top of that, you also got to look at future sales for these guys, right? Especially when it comes to their consoles. How big of a hit is this going to, you know, impact on the Microsoft side or versus the Sony side when it comes to these subscriptions? Are people more going to go towards PlayStation or are they going to go towards more Microsoft side? So I guess it really depends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's going to be really crazy to see how it kind of all turns up. Like, I'm glad competition is good. Ultimately, I think this is all right. Nothing but a good thing.
Exactly.
Depends on what they do in the pricing of the three different things. It'll definitely change a bit. I might actually have to shut my door. There's a lot of noise going on outside right now. But it could definitely, all it does is benefit gamers. I mean, it gives them another place to play. If they include it to where your current subscription for PlayStation Plus is included with this Project Spartacus, and then you're just adding onto the tier of the different, like, you know, add on the different things like the retro games or whatever top level thing. There's been rumors of different things, but we obviously haven't seen the confirmation on anything because they haven't officially announced.
They really haven't done anything yet.
No, right. The only thing they've told us for sure that there's three tiers, and that's it. Like there's a flat level tier, which they said is, I think, was rumored around $10. Then there's the standard one, which is like the $15 or $20, I think, or a month. For that,
I think it was like the $14.99 or
whatever. $14.99, and then the top tier was like $20 or $25 or something like that. So it'll be pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, and then the whole tier thing, right? I mean, is that really going to work out for them? I mean, when it comes to tier pricing, I kind of feel like that constricts your market when it comes to, hey, you know what? If you're in the lower tier, then we will only allow these certain games, or in the middle tier, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, who needs another subscription when it comes to tiers like that, in my opinion, right? We already have our Netflix subscription. We already have our Amazon subscription. I mean, we got a lot of the subscriptions. Are gamers really going to go and go, hey, look, instead of buying the game at $60, is it worth going to PlayStation and paying for another subscription every single month? What's your thoughts on that, man? I mean, because that's kind of my feeling is like, can I do that? I mean, can I afford that to put another subscription on my bank account?
Yeah, that's the tough thing. It's like we're in a sea of subscriptions at this point in time. Like who? I personally subscribe to multiple game services. Like I subscribe to Game Pass because I like the value of Game Pass and I like trying out or playing the games that I don't necessarily feel like buying. And it does save me a little bit of money ultimately. So if I go and say I'm going to pay the $15 a month, it's $170 a year or $179 a year for Xbox Game Pass, but if I go and buy three of those titles, that's going to equal out to that. So that's that much savings, and I get to play a whole slew of library of other things. I think it's really determined by like the value, the perceived value that you get from it for those subscription services. Now, if Project Spartacus comes out and it's got a lot of great games, but it doesn't come out with anything new, then obviously the perceived value, you start to weigh between the two. Like, what are you really going to subscribe for? Because not everybody's going to want to pay for every subscription like I do. Like, I pay for Xbox Game Pass and PlayStation Plus, but I like the free games you get from PlayStation Plus, which is a value there, too. They give you, like, you know, anywhere between $60 and $90 of games a month, and you kind of go from that. So it's
pretty wild. I mean, but how good are those games, though? That's the next question is, like, does it meet the player's play? I mean, like, those free games that they're giving to you, like, how old are they? And are they up to date?
If you're talking about, so Xbox Games for Gold versus PlayStation Plus games every month, the PlayStation Plus games per month has always been better. Like,
really?
By quality, in terms of just plain quality, has been stomping Microsoft in that regard. Now, that's kind of where their strengths are, right? So you have Microsoft that's really strong in Game Pass, but really weak in their Games for Gold because they don't need to put the money in Games for Gold because the Game Pass kind of like lives up to that whole thing. Now, whereas PlayStation doesn't have like the solid Game Pass thing other than PlayStation Now, which I think is kind of because it's emulated half the time. It's not even like the game like you get now. You get better monthly games, but you don't have a nice subscription service that goes along with that same subscription price. And kind of touching, rounding back on that whole thing about the the subscription levels. I don't think there should be three like subscription levels. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And I honestly don't either, because I think with the three different tier subscription levels, that's going to hurt them in the long run, especially because they're just trying to get more money out of the pocket from the gamers, which I get that, right? Because the company's got to make money. But when you have three different tiers, then you're kind of segregating the player base for everything. And that's my opinion, right? Versus having one tier, you know, versus, you know, going from like $9.99 to $24.99, right? For the, or like between the three different tiers, maybe just keep out with the $15.99 or something like that. And then that will allow more people to come into it, just like what Microsoft or anybody else does, right? It's just, the problem is that there's already so many subscription programs out there. Is like, can another gamer afford to add another subscription to their bank account? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Because like what you're talking about, like me, right? And what I do is the Microsoft one already. And I do the EVE Online, and I do, you know, COD, because when I pay for, you know, like the Battle Pass, and then then with other games, which I pay for on a monthly basis or even on a yearly basis, it's like, God, there's so much money going out. Versus what happened to the, you know, times ago when you pay for one game, you keep it and you just play. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the idea of these passes, but should it be, you know, like a three different tier set level? Because, and I like trying them out, I like playing them, and I like seeing if I'm going to enjoy the game before I actually purchase it. That's my point of view, is what I like to do with these type of passes.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it just depends, like I said, if it's that perceived value. If there's a bunch of games that are coming out, like for example, this year, this first two quarters of this year are slammed with games. Huge. There's more game releases in this month than the last 6 months prior to January. Mm-hmm. And it's just wild.
And there's a lot of good ones coming out too, but that's the crazy thing. Like, they're good and original, which is what I like.
And then you wonder, okay, am I getting those games on one of my subscription services? Yes or no? Do I have mm-hmm. to, if I do, yes, cool. Then that's $60 or $70 less than I have to spend. And I get the game that I want in the subscription that I'm already paying for, or may want to pay for, versus, now it becomes that choice, right? It puts gamers mm-hmm. kind of in a tough spot. Now, if there are people that love to play just their single player game, obviously, you know, it's different with every person that plays. Like me, mm-hmm. I love to dabble in games and figure out if I like them or not, and just kind of see what they're all about. Do I complete every game I play? No. I've probably only completed a handful of games in the past couple of years.
I say, but that's kind of like me, right? Because what I'll do is try out a game, and then if I can't get into it within, let's say, the first hour, right, of playing a game, and then I go, okay, then I'm done. But then it just, you know, but then it just sits in my library, right? That's why I do like these type of pass programs. I think it's awesome for these type of pass programs, only because I can try them out without actually having to buy them. So that is one benefit, and I think that Sony is going to do great on that end. Because they do have these Sony only games, which I hope that they tend to add, like, I mean, right now, like the Resident, Evil games, you know, things like that. I hope that's all on there, because I think even Nintendo Switch is thinking about doing it, right?
Well, Switch has their own now. Yeah, they did the $20 version. Then the other one includes like the N64 retro games or game library or whatever that's on it.
So, well, and now what I want to see is how many of our viewers actually, you know, purchase into these subscriptions. I mean, how many of you guys actually already use a subscription service like this? That's what I want to know, is like, hey, what do you guys use for your current subscription besides playing EVE Online? Because we all do that here. Hashtag keep ASCII for sure. Sorry. And I'm an ASCII member, so whenever I see that, and I got to say it.
It's all good.
So, I mean, currently, Tommy, so you have a lot of them, it sounds like, right? All I have is like, literally the Switch and the Microsoft one. So it sounds like you have a lot.
I have the three main ones. Yeah. Oh, I don't do the Nintendo one anymore. I actually canceled that one because I've only played my Switch. Like the last time I like heavily played my Switch is when Animal Crossing came out and Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 came out. And that's pretty much been it. Yeah. Like Pokemon would probably bring me back, but I haven't been interested in the last couple Pokemon games aside of Pokemon Legends Arceus. So it's kind of hit or miss on that one.
Right. So real quick here with Anok. So I actually do not own an Xbox, but I still use the Microsoft Pass. I love it because it's for all PC games too. So I do not own an Xbox, and that's what I do.
Oh,
I
do, whoa.
Holy shit. Crazy Dizzy coming in with 10 T1 subs to the community. Appreciate that, dude, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You've gifted 73 subs to the channel.
Holy shit, man. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations to all the people that got a gifted sub. Don't forget, guys, also go ahead and hit that donate button for the Able Gamers today. That's what we're here for today. So we really, really, really appreciate you guys for everything what you're doing for them and for the stream today. So now, like I was saying, now what was I saying? Cause that just blew me off the rock there.
I know it kind of threw me off too. I think we could probably go on to our next topic.
Okay, sure. Go. All right. Actually, but the next topic is one of my favorites. So, and I'm pretty excited.
This will be pretty fun. I haven't played. Okay. So this, I'm going to preface this. I have not played GTA Online all that much other than the folks that are the times that have come onto new consoles. Like, for example, I got GTA Online for free on my PS5. So I was like, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to give it a try. So GTA Plus is getting an online new monthly subscription based on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, not PC and not last gen consoles, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. $5.99 a month for extra GTA Online rewards. We're reading an article from Polygon from Ryan Gilliam. Grand Theft Auto Online will soon have a monthly subscription service for both new and existing players. Rockstar announced on Friday the service, GTA Plus, will come with a variety of benefits for the price of $5.99 a month, including exclusive rewards. Each month, subscribers will get new items and bonuses such as in-game cash, upgrades, special discounts. GTA Plus members, it's so hard to read with these things going off. Thank you guys so much. There's so many alerts going off at once.
It's crazy.
And some of them are resubs too that had previously had subs. That's awesome. Welcome everybody who's gotten a sub.
Yeah.
GTA Plus members will also be able to buy even better shark cards to get even more bang for their buck on microtransaction purchases. GTA Plus is an exclusive to GTA Online players to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, where the game had launched earlier this month alongside with GTA 5, which was updated for next gen. Mm-hmm. The full list of benefits include $500,000 delivered automatically in your Maze bank account every month. It looks like every month. He doesn't confirm every month, but...
I think it is going to be every month.
Yeah, the Precipice Devastate 8, which along with complimentary house special works upgrade for how it's made available will purchase to the general public, plus HSW Orange Trip and HSW CMYK glitch liveries. The auto shop located in La Mesa introduces an assortment of gameplay updates from Los Santos tuners. Current auto shop owners can relocate to La Mesa at no additional cost.
Which is a pretty big deal because it's expensive to do so. So that's pretty cool.
What sweatshirt is that? I don't have a sweatshirt on. It's the Fatby Gaming Esports jersey. You guys can get it on our link below. We're actually going to be giving away some of this today if we hit our goals. We're $250 starts our first giveaway. $1,000 will be a blue microphone. Yeah, it's either blue microphone or your first apparel drop.
And then I think it's right. And I'm pretty excited to do these giveaways. I mean, guys, just get us to the goals. We got some really, really good crap to give away today. Like, I can't believe how much things that we have available just to hand out to you guys. So it's really cool. So once we hit the goals, like what Tommy's saying, we will start those giveaways. And we're going all day, guys. But that's the other thing, too. So we're going all day.
We have close to like almost $1,000 worth of prizes to give away. So once we start hitting our goals, we're going to start hitting them.
Dollar counts. Sorry.
Every dollar counts. Able Gamers definitely support the charity. Right. Waived LS Los Santos Car Meet membership fees. Current LS Car Meet members with GTA Plus will reimburse $50,000 during the event period. Mm-hmm. Yacht owners can upgrade the Aquarius Super Yacht at no additional cost, which is
that's a pretty big deal too. That yacht's pretty nice looking.
Yeah, oh yeah. The Gossip Frog Tree and Broker Prolapse basketball top and shorts automatically added to your wardrobe. The conveyor livery for the Mammoth Avenger, HVY, HPC, and TMO2, and Jolly. A selection of free paints and emblems for the auto shop. 3x GTA money and RP on Howe's Special Work Race Series, and then 2x Car Meet Rep on the Street Race Series. Subscribers will need to claim these rewards from their various vendors each month or risk losing them every month. Rockstar will reveal a new list of items coming to GTA Plus similar to the one above. Note that GTA Plus is a reoccurring subscription, so once you sign up, you'll be billed $5.99 a month, cost automatically until you cancel, which Rockstar says you can do at any time. While Rockstar focuses almost entirely on the new GTA Plus service in its announcement Friday, the publisher also assured players that the online membership is in addition to GTA Online's usual events, which will remain accessible to all players. So it's kind of bonuses towards the things that you've got and, you know, the things you're currently doing, and while giving you some extra perks. What are your thoughts on this so far?
So I'm a huge GTA player. Like, I love playing GTA. It's fun. I don't know what it is. Maybe, you know, breaking the laws or whatever, you know, in game is just a fun thing for me. So that's what I like to do. But a lot of these perks, once again, it comes down, our Grand Theft Auto players want to spend $5.99 a month to get these additional perks. The perks that they listed, though, are really, really, really good. So I really think that it is. I mean, and I really think that what they're doing is taking GTA to the next level and allowing the community that is there to just get more from what they're already doing. So, and I think that's pretty awesome. And that's what I really, really like to see is just, hey, GTA going to the next level, thinking about what the community wants. They still need to make money from it because they're adding things to it. So this is a great way for them to do it. And they get something every single month from it. I think that's awesome.
Crazy Disney, so I donated $100. My God.
Whoa.
Okay. So the one thing I was going to do for my later stream that we can announce we're going to do now. After this, we're going to be doing WWE 2K22, where a lot of your favorite, favorite or maybe non-favorite, ETH personalities are going to be duking it out in the ring. We are going to be doing it for every $25 given. We're going to be doing a Bean Boozled, I'm doing my thing. It's just my little way of doing it. I have my little container.
It's nasty, here. Dude. There's no way in hell which I would ever do that. So good luck with that.
See, there's good ones and bad ones. I mean, it has the little list here. It shows the good and the bad versions of them. They're deceiving now.
No. I'm not putting anything in my mouth that I don't know what it's going to taste like already.
I'm going to put one in here and see what I get. Ooh, oof. Oof, here we go. We got our first one. Let's see what could this one be? I'm gonna interrupt us first just a second.
No, go ahead, man. $100 deserves these special recognition. Thank you so much for the $100 donation, man.
This is the bad one. This one's scary. It's either gonna be dead fish or strawberry banana smoothie.
There's no way they taste even the same. I love strawberry banana smoothie. No,
so that's why it's scary. It's scary. We're gonna go for it.
Oh my god, dude. Oh my god.
Oh shit, I didn't bring the trash can in here. I need to spit it out.
No, man, but just spit it out in your hand. Just go. I mean, but that's all good.
Okay.
All right, so which one is it?
I got strawberry banana smoothie.
Okay. All right, good.
At least we're working out on that one.
Yeah. Hey, now go get your trash can because I really don't want you throwing up on stream, okay?
No. Yeah, I will do that. I will do that in our break between shows.
All right.
But yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you for the $100 donation once again. Appreciate you, man. That's a big boost to it. So thank you so much.
Definitely. Thank you so much for supporting the charity. Going back to our GTA news.
All right. So with Grand Theft Auto, and I'm a huge Grand Theft Auto role player too. So what I would like to see is some of these features coming over to that side of it as well, but I don't know how they're going to do it. So if I can pay $5.99 a month to get some of these features on the role-playing side, I would love to have that too. But just in the original game for the GTA Online, I think this is a huge benefit and a huge boost to it. It's going to be really fun, and I think it's just going to be cool. Wait, there was text within the donation web. What was the text?
Oh, I didn't see the text in there. It must have cut it off for some reason. Usually it shows right under it, but...
I didn't see the text.
Oh, ASCII is recruiting, by the way. Keep ASCII.
I love it. Hashtag keep ASCII, 100%. By the way, and if you guys didn't know, Ascendance does have their own Keepstar now, which is awesome. But anyways, Ascendance, let's continue on with GTA. Yeah, man.
I'm not part of Ascendance. I'm actually a 4S member. But
Well, I'm Ascendance, so... Anyways, so I'm loving the fact that GTA is coming out with something like this. I think for the GTA community, it's going to be an awesome thing. They get extra cash, they can do some cool things, and then we will see what happens. But that's kind of what I think about it. And Rockstar is making a big move here, especially when it comes to their monthly sub. So, and we'll see on how it goes.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. The challenge I find with it, at least currently, is it's only locked to the next gen consoles, which I think is meant to obviously boost migration and movement onto the new consoles if you could get them right. Like,
right,
kind of touching on that a little bit. It's like,
I mean, you can just now buy a graphics card, right? Because, and I think that you were telling me just a little bit ago, I mean, you can actually go to Newegg and buy a graphics card because they have them in stock. The problem is, can you buy an Xbox or can you buy a PlayStation?
No, that's the thing, is you still can't buy the consoles because the consoles are going off the chart. But it's the cost difference, right? It's a $500 console versus a $1,000 plus graphics card.
True.
So it's wild. But I'm glad that the supply stuff is finally getting better, where we can finally buy a graphics card, like one of those things I've needed to do for quite some time. I'm still rocking 1080 Ti's basically. So.
Dude, and all I'm rocking is just a 2070, man. And I really want the 3090 is what I want, like the 3080, 3090. I think that'd be cool. But anyways, now we're getting off topic. So,
it's kind of the crazy stuff that's been going on. I really like the idea that they're doing it. Although this brings us back to our previous topic where we had, you know, talking about subscriptions. Granted, this one's not as bad in terms of cost. It is very low in terms of cost on the subscription price itself. However, if you're a big GTA Online player, I feel like this is a great deal for it.
Yeah, and so do I. And I think that's why it's going to be pretty darn successful. And then we'll see on how it goes in the future. But I think it's a really good deal.
Yeah. The things I would do to someone to be able to buy a PS5 at cost rather than scalper prices. Yeah, no kidding. And that's the other thing, is so many bots and everything were made just to buy out these things before we even had a chance. Like, for example, when graphics cards first started dropping for the 3000 series, you would get a notification saying, hey, you go buy this thing now. You would be there the minute, the second it opened, and you opened it, it would already be purchased because bots would buy them already. Like, that's how crazy it was.
No, and then it was stupid, but that's the thing. I mean, with these online bots and things like that, they just piss me off, to be honest. Like, and I get so angry whenever I try to go buy something and it's already sold out by the time I can even click on it. It's just crazy.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're there, like, you're there waiting for it. It's ready.
Timer to go down. Right. And that's the same thing for what he's talking about. Like, right, is with, like, the PlayStations. I mean, you can go on eBay and find them for, like, a grand or something, which is just stupid. It's just.
Yeah, one of my favorite pastimes is the guilty pleasure is going and reporting Facebook Marketplace links with scalpers on there trying to sell PlayStation.
Do you really do that?
Oh God, dude. Like, if I'm bored, I'll spend like an hour sitting there doing it to like 50, 60 of them. And then eventually, like a lot of them, in fact, that I've done recently have actually gotten removed because Facebook's cracking down on it too. So I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I'm doing my community service.
Right.
Screw these scalpers.
Dude, I hate scalpers. They just piss me off. Deep web MSP price. Yeah, right. Exactly.
No kidding. What's up, Danny? That's my brother, Danny. The other half of RuneShift Gaming originally.
Now I get the name. Yep. Now I get the name. Okay. Yep.
That's exactly how it came out. Shifter X Rune for RuneShift. Yeah. That all came about.
That's pretty cool. Anyways.
So going on to our next topic.
One of my favorite topics to talk about.
Actually, this one's going to be bad because I've been talking about this in different channels for a couple months now.
I had such high hopes for this. I had such high hopes for this game.
That's the reason you got. I got you the Xbox Game Pass originally. That 3 month trial is to try this out when it came out.
Was for this game, and I can't even play the motherfucker. And I'm sorry for the language. I can't even play this game anymore because it just makes me so mad. But anyways, go.
Battlefield 2042 continues its downfall since launch. This is an article coming from TechRadar from Colin Baines. The future of the multiplayer shooter does not look bright. Battlefield 2042 is now losing content as well as losing players. Comes from a new report saying we're changing how rotating experiences are featured within Battlefield Portal, which means they're basically... From the Reddit, the article reading, we'll actually go through a little bit more, is they're rotating the content more often, so doing it twice a week. So it's trying to like change up the featured content to avoid bot farms, basically, right? So going back to the bot thing again and how people go and farm XP on a game just to get further, which is good and bad, right? Like Battlefield Portal is probably the one way to play the certain modes that you want that the game itself doesn't offer you, which is kind of funny because they really want you to play Portal, right? And create your new custom content, your custom things and all that. But it's limited based on how many like how many servers are available for you to do that too. So like you can't, you can go in there and put it up, but it doesn't mean anybody can play it until there's a server available to push it up, which is kind of a weird thing.
Right.
But kind of reading into the article, Battlefield 2042 has not been in a good state since its launch last year. Among a host of technical bugs and game spoiling glitches, players have fled from DICE's competitive shooter, which at one point dipped below the player count of its 9-year-old predecessor, Battlefield 4, mm-hmm. which is a huge thing. But it won't be it won't be just serious fans leaving the game any longer, as content is starting to be rolled back too. Announced in a tweet, the game's featured experience is a selection of rotating game modes created using Battlefield 2042's mechanic tweaking portal feature have been changed. The number of featured experiences at any time have been reduced from 5 to 3, meaning players will have fewer of the special game modes to choose from.
Which is dumb.
Anyway. Which then it chooses, and then it moves to twice a week. So it changes, yeah. I think it was Tuesdays and Thursdays, which doesn't make any sense because like the first half of the week, you're only playing for a couple days. Then you play the rest of the week to play whatever the section, you know, second part of it is. So it's kind of weird on the timing. I think it should have been maybe Tuesday to Friday.
Right. I mean, well, and then if you think about when most people play too, right? So it's, but those days are really weird. But anyways.
Yeah, it's kind of useless. It's kind of dumb in my opinion.
Yeah.
As players were quick to point out on Twitter and Reddit, the reduction in the number of active game modes looks to accommodate the game's ailing player count. With fewer players booting up the game, matches are slow to fill, and the queue times are noticeably long. By reducing the number of available game modes, DICE can concentrate on the game's smaller player base into a handful of matches, ensuring servers are kept close or closer to full capacity. Empty servers have been sticking to the point of Battlefield 2042 players over the past couple of months, with those in less populated server regions such as Australia, South Africa, struggling to find multiplayer matches, which is kind of a big deal because the game itself is region locked. The game changes are not a good look for DICE. Rolling back content for any game is rarely met well by fans, but to do something among an exodus of players only leaves Battlefield 2042 looking even frailer. Perception that DICE has had to reduce the active content in response to the game's poor player base doesn't inspire confidence on the game, confidence in the longevity of the title.
Additional changes, I agree with that, yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Additional changes are also being introduced. Featured experiences will now rotate twice a week. Monday and Thursday. So that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Monday and Thursday rather than only once a week. That should give players a variety of game modes to play across the week, even if the number of active modes has been reduced. On top of that, a dedicated Friday night Battlefield event will be held at the end of each week, again holding an additional but temporary event that allows DICE to concentrate players into a few full matches. Now, kind of going into the conversation, there's another section of this. What has your experience been playing Battlefield 2042? What do you think needs to change to make it a better title?
So first and foremost, I think that, I mean, so my personal experience, there's a ton of glitches in the game. It's great graphics, great gameplay. So, but it's there. And I'm definitely not going to argue with that. Like, it is there. They have what they need there. The problem is they just released it too damn soon with too many problems, and then that just turned everybody away right in there. I mean, so them going into this and trying to make changes like this, I think it can be a good thing, but it's going to be a bad thing in a sense because they're not focused in the right area, in my opinion. They're not focused on fixing all of the glitches. They're not focused on doing a lot of things. Now, the last time I tried to play Battlefield 2042 was literally last week. And I was still running into some of the same problems, you know, login issues, you know, just trying to get into the game itself. Unless you have like a freaking $20,000 PC to play this game on, you're going to be running into some problems. And that's what I've been running into. But the game's there. Like, it's got great content. It's, in my opinion, I would rather play Battlefield 2042 than I would play COD. And I'm not lying about that. Like, I really, really enjoyed the gameplay when it's working right. I think it's a great substitute for COD. But the problem is now they're making all these changes, and a lot of people, they don't even have enough people to play, so they have to decrease everything in order to get more people to quickly queue up for things. And then they're changing it up on the Mondays and Thursdays. I mean, is that really going to fix the game? I don't think it is. So we're going to keep on seeing the game go down, down, and down, and more players just leaving the game. That's what's going to happen until they fix the game itself.
Yeah.
And 100% fix it.
But I think that, so I have a multi-part think a line of thoughts on how Battlefield itself has gone through, but one of the biggest challenges is, for of course, the bugs. Two, yeah. they had an easy and great formula that worked from Battlefield 4, Battlefield 1, right. and Battlefield 5.
Exactly. Yep.
Granted, their naming conventions for all of them, I think, are really stupid, but the core game was there. You knew what you were mm-hmm. expecting, and you knew what you were getting in certain features like the scoreboard. You could revive your teammates. You could do that. Mm-hmm. They had all features that players liked and disliked, and if they just kept sticking to finding the features that players wanted and liked mm-hmm. and enjoyed and tweaking them to where they were more acceptable. For example, Battlefield, I believe it's 1, gave you the idea of, okay, cool, there's a medic close by. It tells you if you want to stay or die. Right. Yep. It was you had to wait for a medic to either pick you up or you had to time out to die, but they didn't have the feature to die faster. Right. Now, Battlefield 5 fixed that.
Like, hold down your C, not like within COD, then you can die.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then Battlefield 5 fixed that. They added the thing where you could fast die and all that stuff yep. and do that.
Right.
But it still had scoreboard. It still had the good conquest mode. It still had, you know, great vehicles, had great buildings to destroy and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you get into, like, the core combat. Now, like, some of my biggest problems with Battlefield, some of them have been fixed, but the biggest problem is that they're slow to the updates. They're slow to tell us what's going on. They're slow to tell us what the big things are, and the list is there. Like, they could find out the top 10 things that players fucking hate about Battlefield 2042 in a snapshot, and it's not hard to find that. And I've been mm-hmm. griping about the exact same things the entire time. I think their maps have been bad in this.
Right.
While yep. I like certain elements, I like the vehicles, I like the gunplay, I like the being able to rotate your weapons, the way you do, like, you know, attachments on the fly is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. I like the zipline stuff. I do for what well, it
one
is.
One of my favorite is the airplanes and tanks and stuff. That's what I really like.
Oh yeah, I like. I yeah. like the specialists is how they are, because it gives you mm-hmm. a special ability, but it allows you to merge and do whatever you want with your class, which makes it fair. Right. But I know people don't like specialist stuff because it's just, you know, it's too much of the specialist thing. It's copying COD and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there are pluses to it. Now, they didn't launch the game with a scoreboard, which they just recently launched, and it took an extra 2 months.
Yeah, which is dumb.
Yeah, right. Like, the scoreboard thing was just a stupid thing.
Yeah,
doesn't stupid. Battlefield 2042 just not work? No, it works. It's buggy, but it works.
Very buggy, yeah, but it does work. But it is extremely buggy. It's still extremely buggy because I just tried to play it last week. But it's a good game. That's the thing. Like, and I had such high hopes for this game just because of the previous Battlefield, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you had such high hopes for this game, and then it just, like,
quite literally, if they had just taken all the features from Battlefield 4, Battlefield 1, Battlefield 5. Mm-hmm. And then aesthetically mixed
yeah.
Battlefield 4 and Battlefield 2042 or 2142 and just mashed them in the middle, they would have had mm-hmm. the perfect game. It would have been probably one of the best games we've ever played. And it would have right. been exactly what players had been wanting from DICE. Like, they were tired of World War II shooters, World War I, World War II. They didn't want the historical shooters anymore. Battlefield at its strongest has always been the modern era or later. It's in the last 6 titles, like, their most popular titles have still been the modern era or later stuff, which is, I think, right. where they should have stuck with it. Now, 2042, in terms of, like, the technology and what you've got and all that stuff, was fantastic. I loved that aspect of it. It was great.
Yeah, because they're looking in the future. But did you know that some of those weapons are actually based on true things that are going on right now? Like, they're trying to create these type of weapons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, like, they've been pretty good at that. So brings along my next thing. Even Battlefield 1 and 5 had twice as many weapons and features mm-hmm. and customizations and all that stuff in the game, and where they released this game with 24 weapons. Like, okay, so that is literally a fraction of any other Battlefield you guys have ever done. And there's mm-hmm. no roadmap to tell us, okay, hey, what's coming? What's going to be the big thing in Battlefield next? I'm a longtime Battlefield fan. I've been playing since Battlefield 2 back in the day. My first PC build I ever did to get into PC gaming was for Battlefield 2. I did specifically a RAID 0, like, hard drive setup so I could load faster than 5 minutes, like, all that stuff. Like, did it to where it was, you know, a thing. Now, going on to King Wolf saying yes, that's another topic that I would love to talk about on the show, on how Sony in particular has killed off some of their best franchises they've ever had, and they still have not brought them back. Like, SOCOM would be a wonderful franchise to bring back at this point. MAG, SOCOM, I think,
would be cool.
Yeah. MAG, I think, was ahead of its time, but now I think it would be a proper way or a proper time to bring it back because I think players want that now. Warhawk is another one. Would be a wonderful thing now. It was way ahead of its time. It was like a PlayStation 3 launch title, for Christ's sake. Like, it was good. And it still remains one of the coolest games that I've ever played on PlayStation. Still, to this day, it is one of the, it is like in the top 10 of coolest games I've ever played because it had so much versatility and difference and chaos and like just all kinds of cool stuff that was in it. Now, could they recover Battlefield 2042 now at this point? That's to be seen. If they could roll out updates faster and actually bring out content that players like, well, going back on my topic about the maps, maps have no cover. There's no destructible environments, which is one of the biggest features that people love about Battlefield. There's the maps on the large conquest mode is not worth it because they're too large for that many. Even 128 players still feels small or very few players.
Well, and they are pretty big.
But they're so big that players are so spread out and they're only fighting in a couple condensed areas. Like, you can like 100% see exactly where people are going almost every map. And that's where you know, like, if you've been playing for any point in time, that's where you see, okay, I need to go to that spot and fight those things and do all that. So it just gets crazy with it. I'm like, guys, like, why do I want to run for 15 minutes just to go and fight and die in 2 seconds because the map's too damn big and the spawn point's too far from each other?
Right. So, and I think that they need to do two things in order to fix the game. And then if they do these two things, then I believe that Battlefield 2042 can come back and actually be one of the top most first-person shooter type games out there in today's gaming world. One, they have to fix all the bugs and do it quickly. So that's what they got to do. Like, they got to quit sitting on these things and just get it done and fix them up. But that's the number one thing. And then two, they have to start listening to their community. It sounds like a broken record in here sometimes because we've been talking about another company that hasn't been listening to their community. But now they really, really have to start listening to their community on what they want. And then that will bring Battlefield 2042 back to life. I feel like, because I would play it. I would still go in there and play this game, but that's how much it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's got the foundation to be great. It just needs the things to make it that great game. Right. It needs more items, you know, destructible buildings. It needs a rework on a lot of their maps. It needs bug fixes, which is obviously first and foremost. But there's just no communication either. Like, somebody pointed out, I actually got into a conversation with folks on Twitter this past week. Like, they were like, hey, where's our communication? I'm like, they actually communicated like 2 weeks ago, but it didn't say as much as we wanted to, right? And I wasn't denying the fact that they've been a little quiet on everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, you're EA. You have a ton of money to throw at this thing to make it what it should be. Listen to your community, bring back some of the features that are needed. Yeah, granted, some of those take time and everything else, but you guys have the resources to do that if you wanted to. So it's do that for one of your flagship franchises?
I mean, okay, and sometimes you get these companies that only think about, okay, how much money can I bring to you? Now, they have came out publicly and apologized for the release, which I think is awesome. But now they need to come out publicly and just say, hey, look, this is what we're working on. This is what we're fixing. We will have it done by this date. Don't go away. We are making the game better. And they're not doing that.
Or at least a coming soon. Even if they can't stick to a date, which is, I understand, game dev right now, especially still in COVID times where nobody's fully in the office like they used to be, it's a challenge. But there is lots of ways to communicate it to where you're not getting, you know, brought the pitchfork. You don't bring the pitchforks out every time if you do it the right way. I think that's still very possible.
Well, I mean, okay. And with every single game that's ever been released, there's always been bugs, right? And that's not what I'm asking. I mean, with every single release of any video game that's ever came out, there's always been a bug in the system or something's going wrong or whatever. I mean, and I could remember, you know, hanging outside of the gaming place and waiting on the next expansion for World of Warcraft. And you get it, you install it, and there's a bug. Like, something's not working right. So there's always going to be a bug in everything. So, but the problem is I don't think that they're focused enough on getting it fixed. Yeah. And there's people that want to play this game. That's the big thing. There's people that actually want to play the game.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, daily they're losing players for it. I mean, I was a big avid like supporter for it. I really wanted the game to succeed and I was playing it. I was trying to tell my friends about it. And after a certain amount of time, everybody's like, well, I don't want to play that broken ass game. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm at that point too. Like I like the game. Yep. I like the core foundation of it. It just needs work. Mm-hmm. And exactly. I'm like, you know what? Maybe if I'll come back in a year, we'll see what happens. If they go and release a big mega update, which it seems like they're kind of doing because they've been so quiet on everything lately.
Yeah, but why be quiet around it? You know what I mean? Why be quiet around something that's going to keep the community where it's at? So that way the community doesn't leave. And that's why their numbers are dwindling down, because there is no communication.
Yeah, exactly. There is no communication. There's no real drive. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we could go on that topic forever.
forever.
We're going to have to touch on our last topic for today.
Okay.
New release season, this week's new games. There's quite a bit, and some of them we wanted to talk about because we are going to be playing those throughout the weekend, actually, some of them. One of them is Borderlands-themed Tiny Tina's Wonderland. Ninja here is actually going to be playing that later today.
At 9 p.m. Eastern. Dude, I tell you what. One of the most funnest games I've ever played is Tiny Tina's Wonderland. I know the game title sounds really weird, but it's awesome. So definitely come on by. But the major thing which I love about it is the storytelling. Like, it's just awesome. I love playing D&D. If you love D&D.
Oh my God. Crazy Dizzy with another $89.
Crazy Dizzy. Man, dude. Look at you, dude.
Oh my God. I got to do another Bean Boozled.
Go. No, we'll pause, man. That is awesome. Thank you so much for the donation, guys. Once again, guys, INN is streaming all day long. We have tons of people that are going to be streaming on the channel.
It's a green one. Gamers. Can't see the green too much, but because we're green screened out. Okay. Oh God, I'm afraid of this one. This is the bad one, I think. Oh, it might be. Oh God. So it's either Juicy Pear or Booger.
Okay. Oh my God. And then I hope it's the Booger.
Yeah.
Come on.
I got a bag. I got my Starbucks bag for
Burger. Come on, man.
Is this a Goon sweater? No. This is our esports jersey, if you guys haven't checked it out. See,
and I don't have mine yet, because otherwise I'd be wearing it. And I'm sorry, guys.
So let's try this.
All right. Burger.
I'm scared.
Burger? Burger or burger?
Booger.
Booger?
Booger. Like nose boogers.
Booger. Come on, man. Oh, be the burger. Yes, you can buy those. Just go below. We'll wait for Tommy here to quit throwing up into his bag.
No, it's not that bad, but it's not great either. It's horrible.
Dude, I'm so glad I'm not doing that, because I would throw up, actually. That's just nasty.
Yeah. It's not as bad, but...
No, dude, and I wouldn't do it.
The other one earlier, if it was like, it was dead fish, I wouldn't have been able to do that one.
Oh, no. Life Shifter doing B. Yes, he is doing B.
Yeah, so I got.
He just got another dono. Hey, the text ain't showing up. So what did he say?
Oh, rise above the rest. We'll join that. Ascendance.
Join Ascendance. Of course he did.
That also got us to our first milestone of $250. We're going to go ahead and start that giveaway.
So we're going to be giving away.
We're going to be doing this actually here in just a second. So this is a Steam Key giveaway. We're going to be giving away three different Steam games you're going to get to choose from. It's going to be randomized, going to be sorted by number. You pick a number and you get that game. We're going to be wrapping up our show here, but we're going to do the giveaway here in just a second, because I'm doing the next stream as well for our WWE 2K22 review. Also, we'll be featuring your favorite EVE Online personas, including Meta Show host The Matani and Brisk Rubal. You'll be seeing them along with a few other folks like Dunk Dinkle, Gobbins, Pro God Legend, Norris, Asher. You got a lot of good folks that are going to be seeing in wrestler form.
It's so fun to watch.
So
it's just going to be so fun to watch.
So let me go ahead and get that started. We will do the drawing on the next stream, so you guys are hanging out here.
So while you're doing that, and I'm going to talk about Tiny Tina's Wonderland, because I know that we're not going to get to them all real quick, okay?
Oh, do for it. Go for it.
Dude, I'm telling you guys right now, make sure you're watching me at 9 p.m. to play Tiny Tina's Wonderland. It is so fun. If you like Dungeons & Dragons, and what's the other one, like the Badlands, right?
Borderlands. So it's Borderlands mixed with Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay. So if you like Dungeons & Dragons and Borderlands, this is a fun game to play. We'll have a couple people playing it with me as well on stream. It's going to be freaking awesome. It's just so fun to play, and I love Tiny Tina. She's hilarious. So you guys will see. She's just funny as hell.
Yeah, it's voiced by Ashley Birch, I believe, is who Tiny Tina is.
And hey, real quick, while you're looking up that too, will you look at what Styler said on his donation from the last stream? Unfortunately, he wrote something on there and would like for us to say that out loud.
Everyone should be able to enjoy and play games together, socializing with others, and not have restrictions to have fun.
Yeah, and I agree with that. That's why we're doing this today, is trying to raise money for these able gamers, for this company to help out other people that are unable to use the conventional type of keyboard and mouse to be able to play games like what you and I do on a day-to-day basis, and we take advantage of it. So I think it's a great opportunity, guys. Make sure you're hitting that donation button. You know, every dollar counts, so even a dollar, and I think I've donated like $2 so far. So guys, just get in there, donate a dollar. It helps us to reach our goals. So, and who got to start playing Eve? That is true. Now, you did mention that, Styler, just one more time. How great is that game? It is phenomenal. Like, I can't wait for you guys to watch me play.
Oh my God, yeah.
Omni is gonna get involved with it. Yep. I'm hoping Dave Archer buys the game and actually plays with us. Come on, Dave.
Dave, we're looking at you. Yeah, we're looking at you, yeah, buddy. Dave.
Come on, Dave. And then if anyone else actually, because I think you play up to four, right? Four or five?
Yeah, four.
Four? So, I mean, if anyone else wants to play, just let me know. Just send me a message on the Discord. I would love to have a couple more people play. It's pretty awesome.
All right. Just to round out our new release season, Tiny Tina's Wonderland, obviously, we're going to be playing that later today. You're going to get to check it out. We also have a code incoming for Ghostwire Tokyo, which you'll see later this week. The Ascent also came out on Thursday for PlayStation consoles, PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. It's re-released from Xbox Game Pass and PC. And then there's Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which Jinja, actually, John got here for his kids.
The Kirby and the Forgotten Land. So we bought it for my kid yesterday for his birthday. And I tell you what, I'm not a huge Kirby fan, and I really don't play it on the Switch too much, but he really enjoys it. Like, he's been jumping up and down for the past 24 hours playing that game. So it must be good. So check it out.
Yeah.
Are we even friends? Klekos, I didn't know that you have, dude, if you have the game, then let's play, man.
Yeah, it's going to be open for all of us. We'll be hanging out here on the INN Discord all day, being able to do it. Tomorrow, we actually have another set of streams coming on. So if you guys haven't checked out the rest of the schedule for today, it's actually just me and Jinja, I think, believe, the rest of the day.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So it's me playing WWE 2K22 for you all for a few hours, getting to show you all your best Eve personalities all together, you know, doing their thing. And then Jinja will also be playing Tiny Tina's Wonderland. Tomorrow you have Zeref back again playing, I think, either a more Undungeon or something else. Mifune's doing a VR stream. Then there's going to be a Lions tournament practice as well. And then King Wolf and Killersaw are going to be playing Elden Ring Invasions, and they're going to be doing donating a dollar for every time they kill somebody in an invasion or get killed in an invasion. And then the final slot of the day will be Jinja playing I'm Not Sure Yet.
Yes, here real quick. Happy birthday to Klekos, one of the best Ascendance members ever. Hashtag keep ASCII. So 100% happy birthday, buddy. But anyways, guys, yeah, definitely. Hey, check out the link for the dono, guys. Once again, we're doing all this for the able gamers. It's huge. We just want to make sure that we can help other gamers that are unable to play conventionally like what we do every single day, to make sure that they are able to enjoy the games that we play, including Eve Online. So definitely check it out, guys. Click the link. Where's the link? Tommy, but do you mind putting that in the chat, everybody? So definitely, guys, check it out. Every dollar helps us out to reach our goals. For every so we just reached our $250 goal. I think we still got to do a quick giveaway here.
Yep, we'll be drawing the winners on the next, once we start up the next stream in just a minute. Exclamation point ticket, if you guys haven't gotten in yet. We're going to be giving away three different games.
Guys, so make sure you hit that exclamation point ticket right now, right?
Right now. It's already live.
All right, so do it right now, guys. So type in exclamation point ticket. Don't worry, if I win, I won't win it, because I just want to make sure that it was working.
And again, we're going to go wrap this up. Right,
yeah, exactly.
Crazy Dizzy, thank you so much for helping us reach our first goal of today.
Absolutely. I think that's awesome.
As comment said, rise above the rest, join Ascendance.
What's my intro video say? And yes, we have, oh my God, I forget what it is. All right, go. And then I'll think of it in a second.
No, I was going to wrap it up for us today.
Okay, well then I'm good to go.
Alrighty. Well, thank you guys and gals so much for joining us for our first reintroduction episode of Cartridge to Cloud, season 2, episode 1. We'll hopefully be back here in the near future. We don't have a solid schedule set yet, but we'll be doing that here in the very near future. I hope you guys enjoyed this form of entertainment here on INN. And again, stay around for the shows today. Meta Show is not going to be on today, but you're going to be seeing the hosts duke it out here in WWE here shortly. Thank you all so much for joining us. Until next time, see y'all later.
All right. See you guys.